The reading is from Corinthians 9, Paul's use of his freedom. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Excuse me. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Although I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself would not be disqualified for the prize.
So I wonder, I'm going to give you a memory test this morning. How many of you remember this? I don't actually mean being there on the day, but, you know, Naomi mentioned our 40th anniversary celebrations, which were just before, so I guess at the start of summer, and we had a quiz. Remember the quiz, those who were here? So how many TV channels were there in 1982? Three, yes, that was the correct answer, wasn't it? A lot of uncertainty at the time as to whether it was three or four, but it was three. The thing is a lot of things have changed since 1982. Those of us who were around in 1982 will remember more of those than if you weren't actually born then. A lot of things have changed in the world. A lot of things have changed in church life as well. I'm guessing there probably aren't many Baptist churches these days who are handing out the Baptist hymn book as to the people as they walk in. 1982, the IBM PC had been around for about a year. You remember that, you know, powered by the wonderful Microsoft DOS operating system? Yeah, smiles from the old people who remember that, you know. And yet now, you know, our services almost rely on the technology that started back then. I wonder if you'd have asked the folks in Frimley Baptist Church in 1982 which was more likely, a flying DeLorean or Frimley Baptist Church services available on your TV in your home. I think probably most of them would have gone for the flying DeLorean. Things have changed a lot in church life and in the world. And if you remember the service we had for our 40th anniversary, Glyn brought a message with the title of Forward with Fortitude. He likes those kind of things, doesn't he, Glyn? Forward with Fortitude. And you remember he had 4 points. I'm sure you all remember that, don't you? And the 4 points were? Time for a recap. These were his 4 points. He talked about evangelizing God's progressing word. And he went back to Noah coming out of the ark and going forward and multiplying on the earth, being fruitful and increasing in number. He talked about embracing God's protective word and went back to Moses receiving the Ten Commandments. Enter God's promised land. And he went to John 14 with Jesus telling his followers that they would do even greater things than him. And then express God's provided gifts, talking about the church and the gifts that God had given to the church. Sure, it's all flooding back now, isn't it? You remember that. So, Frimley Baptist Church, why is it here? Why does Frimley Baptist Church exist? And I'm sure all members will know well that Frimley Baptist Church exists. Our principal purpose of the church is the advancement of the Christian faith according to the principles of the Baptist denomination. You know, as written in our constitution, this is our charitable objects. So as a trustee, which is what I am here, the role of a trustee is to make sure that the charity carries out its charitable objects and does nothing else, because that would be unlawful if a charity was to do something that was not within its charitable objects. Now, that is a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? And it's not very user-friendly. So a few years ago, we came up with this expression of what the church is about: to know, love, and serve God and our neighbours, as a more manageable and more easily understandable thing for folk to get their heads around. But if you go back to the Baptist principles, their origins come from the Great Commission in Matthew 28, when Jesus tells his followers to go and make disciples. And if you'd like to, you can go to the Baptist Union website and look up the principles, and they've got the whole history of the principles and the whole theology of the principles. So that's quite interesting, you know, if you've got half an hour to get through all of that stuff. So things change, don't they? Things change over time. But the purpose of the church remains the same. And in our own lives as well, things change, don't they? I used to work, and now I'm retired. And unlike some people, I'm happily retired. I was very happy to say goodbye to work and leave. But one of the things I used to do when I did work is I used to run things called strategic planning workshops. And that generally involved going to very posh hotels for a couple of days at someone else's expense, which is always very nice, isn't it? And eating a lot. David mentioned cooked breakfast. If you go to a posh hotel, you really cannot not have cooked breakfast, can you? You know, you've got to have the whole hog. And one of the things that we do as part of a strategic planning workshop is I will get the people who were there to imagine. Imagine it was 5 years on from where we were now, and everything that they could imagine in terms of this organisation that we were talking about had gone perfectly. What would things look like in 5 years' time if everything had gone perfectly? And I would get everyone to write down their own thoughts, and then we'd go around and share. And it doesn't matter what organisation it was or what type of organisation it was, there was always a common theme. All of them always imagined something that was bigger and better. None of them ever imagined a future where the organisation they were part of was smaller and declining and was worse then than it is now. It was always something bigger and better. And they would talk about things in terms of more customers and more products and services. And then they would say, well, it's not all about numbers. We want to have better products and services as well. And then somebody would say, probably the finance director, we have to think about money here. You know, it's not a bottomless pit. We, you know, talk about profitability or cost effectiveness. And then someone would say, we haven't said anything about staff. We'd better say something about staff. And in any organization, they would all come up with 4 or 5 points about those things. And if I took all of you and everyone else in the church and broke you into small groups and said to you, imagine, let's say in 10 years' time for Frimley Baptist Church, everything had gone perfectly. Everything had gone exactly as you could expect. How would you see things? I'm guessing all of you would see something that was bigger and better and not smaller and worse. And you might talk about things like, well, we'd have more church members. And then if I let you, you'd go off into a long discussion about what it meant to be a church member. But we haven't got that long, so you know, more church members. And then you'd say, well, it's not just about people coming from other churches or moving here. We'd want to have more new Christians, more people becoming Christians and joining us. And then you'd say, it's not all about numbers. What about our own spiritual growth? It's about that as well. And then someone would say, well, it's not all just about us. Jesus said he came not to be served, but to serve. What about serving our community? And then someone would say, it's about doing this together. A united fellowship. You might come up with those kind of words to express those kind of things. And then you'd want to put some kind of longer words around that, wouldn't you? Something that maybe sounded a bit more spiritual than just those things. So somebody might come up with this. Evangelize God's progressing world. Embrace God's protective word. Enter God's promised land. Express God's provided gifts. Now, Glyn missed one off at the top there. We'll have to ask him why he didn't think about that one. But you might come up with something that looked like that. And then you might think about, well, actually, you know, what are we good at and what are we not so good at? And what can we build on our strengths? And can we do something about our limitations? And you might have a conversation about those things. But the question gets to be, if you want to move to bigger and better, how do you do it? And the thing is, you know, we've got around 160 church members, then we've got some more folk associated with the church, and we've got young people and children. And if we want to find out how, when we're talking about serving the community, maybe we should ask them what they think as well. So you get a whole load of different views. The thing is God made us all different. And he gave us all passion about something. So there'll be a group of people who are passionate about prayer, and they say, well, where we need to start is prayer. And there'd be a group of people who are passionate about God's word, and they'd say, that's the place. That's what we need to build on. And there'd be people passionate about serving the community. And we'd have discussions about those things, and that would lead us on to priorities and resources, and the conversation would start to get long onto how you do all of those things. And at this point, somebody would probably say as well, you know, one of our limitations is the building. We better do something about the building. And at that point, folk who've been around the church for a while would either start banging their heads against the wall or leaving. But it all starts to get complicated, and we think, you know, why are we doing this? And should we be doing this? And I found this really interesting quote from the Baptist preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This is from his one of his lectures to his students, where he says this: I should loathe to be a pastor of a people who have nothing to say, or if they do say anything, might as well be quiet. Does this not need wisdom from above? What can require it more? Our system will not work without the Spirit of God, and I am glad of it, for its stoppages and breakages call our attention to the fact of his absence. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was very happy that he was part of a church where people all had their passions and all had their views. He preferred it rather than silence. So how can you move forward? Well, in business terms, you deal with all these things by coming up with a plan and a process to manage it. But perhaps that's all a bit complicated and too much. Is there another way? Well, a couple of years ago, Ken Benjamin was the Baptist Union president, and the theme for his presidency was, "Where do we grow from here?" If you're not familiar with Baptist ways, every year the Baptist Union elects a president just for 1 year, and they always have a theme, and this was Ken's. And it's interesting what Ken says about himself. He went into ministry, I've put that in inverted commas. When he says ministry, of course, what he means was he went to be a paid minister. We're all in ministry, because all ministry means is service, and we're all called to be servants. But he did that because he thought church was dull and boring. Which is interesting, isn't it? He didn't think church was dull and boring and decided to leave. He thought church was dull and boring and decided that he thought this was the way he could do something about it. He was committed to the message, but not to the packaging. Now, he was about to go on a period of sabbatical leave. And someone in his church asked him the question, "Are you going to come back with the next chapter in the life of the church?" And his reply was, "No, but I might come back with the first paragraph." And this is what he came back with. "When you have the message of hope for people, hope for now and forever, when you have so much in terms of people, space, money, values, and unity, when your main ways are having great effect for some, but little effect for many, when you don't have to drop all the main ways that have some effect to try new ways, when what matters is the original messenger more than the cherished ways of conveying his message, when your aim is to find out what pleases God and go for it wholeheartedly, when it's okay to try new things and fail sometimes and learn and move on, when he promises to come with us in power and guide us by his spirit, when we hit on what it means to try things in his name, then what follows carries with it responsibility and opportunity and adventure." And he talks there about what we currently do, our main ways of being church, being good for many, but not for, or good for few, but not for many. Because most of the people are outside of the church. And he says, we don't have to drop all of those things, but maybe we need to try some new things. And he talks about the cherished ways. And that's an interesting expression, isn't it? Because the thing is, quite often, we all have things about church and church life that we cherish. Often because of our own experience. People often find when they become Christians, everything's new, everything's exciting. You grow quite quickly. So you associate that with the church you're in at a particular time and the way they do things. And therefore, those things can become the cherished things. But sometimes there are things that we cherish. And perhaps sometimes we cherish them too much. I remember back in the 1980s going to Spring Harvest, a big Christian conference, and Rob Parsons was speaking. And he was speaking about disagreement in church. And back in the 70s and into the 80s, there were quite a lot of disagreements in a lot of churches. And Rob Parsons said, "If you've not had disagreement in your church, it will come. He said, usually it's about the worship or the youth work, but whatever it is, it will come. And he said, you know what it's like. You go into a church meeting and the whole thing's taken on the air of a cup tie. There are two groups of supporters sat on opposite sides of the church. And he said this, which I will always remember. He said, you do not want to go through the gates of heaven saying, I fought for the pews and I fought for the hymn books. But sometimes it's things like that that we cherish and we want to hang on to. And as Ken said, we need to focus on the messenger, not the ways of things in the church. And sometimes we just have to recognize there are things that we cherish but aren't necessarily that important for the church. But it's very difficult to do that for all of us. Ken used this verse. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And for the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. God has given us so much. God has given us so much. And therefore we deserve to give him our all. We often sing songs about that, don't we? Giving our all. In the verses that we read, Paul says this, to the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. Paul says he's become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, Paul will do anything and everything he possibly can, short of sin, to try and reach those who don't know Jesus. He'll try everything and anything, no matter perhaps how crazy it might seem. And if you look at the things that Paul got up to in the book of Acts, the way he went about things, he did different things in different places to reach the people who were there. And he also says this, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. Paul was someone in training. He had a purpose. He himself was getting himself ready. He was getting himself ready to do things, all possible things, for all people, that by all means he might save some. And of course, Paul was one who left everything behind. He went out on the mission road. And that's not necessarily what we're all called to do, but Jesus calls us to be willing to give up everything to follow him. So how do you move forward with fortitude? Well, for we who have received much, we have a responsibility to get ourselves ready to do what's needed. But that responsibility is also an opportunity to save some. It's an opportunity to save some. And that perhaps leads on to the next bit, that it's an adventure. It takes us places where we haven't been before. And that perhaps is the most exciting part of being a Christian, is actually taking the message to other people. when you see the difference it makes in other people's lives when they find Jesus. This is what God calls us to. The need to do everything by all means possible to reach everyone. So, let's look forward and go forward with fortitude. Let's evangelize God's progressing world. Let's embrace God's productive word. Let's enter God's promised land and express God's provided gifts. And let's do this asking God for his Holy Spirit, that in doing these things, we would be full of his Spirit, willing to follow in the way that he wants us to go, to look forward and not to look backwards, and ask that his Spirit might keep us together in unity, that we would be joined together and that we would be as one. I'm pretty sure that God doesn't want us to be a smaller and worse church in 10 years' time, but a bigger and better one. So let's be willing to work out together how we do that and give ourselves to God and ask for his help and his leading. Let's pray together. Our Lord, you have given us so much. In Jesus, you have given us everything. Do we not have all things with him? And so, Lord, with that great gift that you have given to us, also comes the expectation from you. You've entrusted us with much, with the message of salvation. You've given us so much by giving us Jesus. Lord, help us to respond in the right way to that. Help us, Lord, to be people who look forward to what you are doing. Lead us on, Lord, with fortitude. Help us to walk in your ways, follow in your path, and Lord, that in everything we do as a church together, we might bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus, and that everyone would know that we are your disciples because of the love that we have for one another. Amen.